Well, good morning, everyone. Please go ahead and take your Bibles and open up to Acts chapter 12. And while you're turning, I think I may have a verse or two for you concerning the biblical basis for a chili cook-off. Told you about that last week. It really comes down to my life verse of all time, Genesis 27:4. It's something that's very dear to my heart, and it goes this way: prepare for me the kind of savory food that I like, so that I may eat it and bless you before I die. And yes, that is in there. First time I wrote that down to somebody, they thought, oh, that's so wonderful, until they probably looked it up and said, what is his problem? Anyway, so we're so grateful. I hope that you'll take the time next week to stay and fellowship. That's an important part of our Christian ministry with one another, is to fellowship. We're going to be looking at basically one verse, but in context, it's the whole chapter. And it's verse chapter 5 of Acts 12. And it reads this way: so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can pray. We thank you that you've invited us to do such. And as we spend these moments this morning contemplating once again a very familiar topic to many people, a lot of misunderstanding about it, but also a lot of blessings when we do come to grasp of what your scripture says and the word says and how it's to be used and what it really means. And I pray that you will help all of us grow deeper in our relationship with you through this blessing and this gift of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. One way to think about prayer: prayer is fellowship. Can you say that with me? Prayer is fellowship. That's right. Did you know that in the Bible there are 650 recorded prayers? 650. And out of those 650, 450 of those recorded prayers were answered. The first prayer that we find is actually in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. And Jesus is recorded as having made 25 different prayers during his earthly ministry. Paul mentions prayer 41 times. I think the Bible has something to say about prayer and the importance of it. In Acts chapter 2, just in our particular book that we're studying, we see that it becomes a core value of the church. When they gathered together, of all the things they did, one of the things they never missed out to doing collectively, this is important, collectively as a body of believers. I know we all pray at home, we pray in our cars, we pray at work, we pray but collectively together the church prayed. It was a priority. Acts chapter 3, it becomes a part of their worship, we see. In Acts chapter 4, it actually leads to an experience of the spiritual power of God, the Holy Spirit coming upon them, shaking them, and shaking the place. And in Acts chapter 6, it's a priority for servant leaders who want to be part of the church that are picked out. They had to be men of prayer. Prayer was important. And now we come to Acts 12, and it's something that we see the church practicing. Now, Jesus himself was a big proponent of prayer, doing it. And we're going to see that hopefully as we get in this a little bit. But one of the things is that he was a great mentor of prayer. He not only taught the disciples how to pray, he showed them what prayer was like over and over again. Even when they didn't get it, he was patient with them and showed them again. And so we see this being done. Now, a simple definition of prayer is what we've just said. It's kind of communication. Well, we talked about it being fellowship, but it is communication with God. Now, our first parents didn't have the kind of prayer that you and I had, not at the beginning. When they were with God, they walked with God. How many of you would like to have a garden walk with God today? Now, you can. That can happen, but not the way Adam and Eve had it. That's what I'm asking you this morning. Now, maybe have more hands might go up. I can't believe only 5 went up. Maybe you need this message. How many of you love to actually have Jesus Christ in the flesh walk with you for about an hour out in the county roads today? Anybody? Well, I got a few more hands up. Yeah. I know, it's a silly question. Everybody's supposed to raise their hand. It's the Sunday school answer. It's Jesus, right? That's what you're supposed to say. But Adam and Eve had that, and then they lost it. They lost it. That changed prayer forever. Well, not forever, but forever for them. It was still available. It was still something God wanted to do. But now it was going to be done in a different manner. Though God certainly came in and communicated with him in a way that they could hear at times and sometimes appear through angels, it changed. It was a little bit different. Rather than walking every day, which would be so great. I have so many questions at the end of my day. I don't know about you. But it'd be great to walk in the cool of the evening with the Lord and just talk about the day, which we can do, but with him in the flesh. And so we have this going on, and sin automatically in the fall took place. We have our first funeral, right? One brother kills another brother. Horrible situation, right? Awful. This is what's going on. And so now the generations are starting to come up, and in Genesis chapter 4, we see this first prayer meeting where it says men are now calling out, calling upon the name of the Lord. They're crying out to God. They're crying out to God. This is kind of the first indication of Yahweh worship, we would say. Worship to the Lord. They're doing it collectively, realizing that understanding being passed down from their parents that the promise the God given to Adam and Eve was hopefully going to come soon in their lifetime. This is a long time ago. And they're thinking, man, Lord, the sin has already taken over this world already, and we're coming together, and we're crying out, and we're calling upon the name of the Lord, and we're looking forward to the promises and blessings of God to be fulfilled in our lifetime. And most of the people, I would say, hopefully here would say, amen to that. We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious return of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We great have the rapture end this message right now. And there we go. For those of you who remain, then you have the opportunity to cry out on your knees to God. I know that's a theological discrepancy, but we can talk about that another time. I would say to you today that prayer is absolutely and at its very basic core fellowship with God. That's what it was for. God created us for fellowship. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden with fellowship. And even afterwards, he invites us to be a part of that. You know, even since those early days, mankind has been crying out to God to fulfill the promises. That's exactly what Israel is doing here in chapter 12. They're crying out to God. Now, there's a group of Israelites, that I would say, that are crying out, but they're crying out in disbelief. They're not trusting in the Messiah. They didn't trust in Jesus, but they're crying out to God. The Messiah had already come. And we have a small group, gathering together now, this thing called the church, and they're crying out to God. And this is happening here. It's happening in our life today. I imagine this week sometime, most likely, you cried out to God. Now, I don't know what for. Maybe it was something in your life, or maybe it was a crisis you saw in someone else's life, or maybe it was for some crisis in our nation or the world that you see, but you cried out to God. Now, the good news that we have, even though we're groaning and groaning for God, the Lord Jesus Christ has already come and dealt with one of the issues that happened in the fall. Christ came and destroyed the curse of the sin. See, the sin that we committed, we are sinners separated from a holy God, and there's no way we can on our own come to Him or find forgiveness on our own. Even doing things in church and doing good works doesn't bring us forgiveness of sin. So Christ, that was the curse that we all bear. Christ came and destroyed that by being the perfect Lamb, Son of God, who died on the cross, shed His blood, paid the penalty for our sin, paid the debt that we could not, offered it to God once for all, and now that curse has been broken and destroyed once for all. And so now the opportunity to have that curse broken in your life is given. And it comes by faith in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Prayer then now becomes an important part of our journey. See, before we weren't even walking with God. You may have been talking to God, but we're going to get into this in a minute. I think for me, I'm not saying that God doesn't hear the prayers of the lost. Of course He does, because I was lost one day and I realized I needed Christ. So guess what? I was lost and I said, Jesus saved me, and He did. So He obviously hears prayers of sinners, and those who are lost, we're all sinners. But He also hears the prayer of His people all the time. And the question comes up, why does God want us to pray? Well, we've already talked about this fellowship part. But God wants to communicate with us. He always did from the beginning. And He always has, and He always will. Even Jesus spoke about it in John 10. My sheep hear My voice. He's talking. Do you hear Him? How about this? Call unto Me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. He wants to have a conversation with you. How about this? Let your requests be made known unto God. All through the Bible, we see this whole biblical truth that God is desiring. Why pray? Because God wants to talk to you. He wants to have a conversation. He wants to have fellowship with you. Prayer is also commanded. That's another reason we pray. Pray without ceasing. There's lots of verses about praying. So we're commanded by God to pray. It's for our good. Prayer is one of the weapons we see in spiritual warfare. That's in our passage today as well. Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but we are mighty through prayer. The only way you and I have power and strength against spiritual forces that are surrounding us is prayer. It's prayer. Prayer does that. Prayer is also a vehicle by which we can be renewed in our fellowship with God through confession and repentance. So what we have here is the church is going to prayer. This is an intercessory prayer being offered up by the church. And the very next thing you see is an angel. Let's drop down just a little bit here. Verse 7. Oh, let's go ahead and read 6. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. This is a little more of a lockdown than the previous chapters because he got out and he didn't want that to happen. So now he's doubling the guards, deepening the place where he's at. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him. And a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that that was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city, and it opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. Wow. So here we have prayer being offered up by the church collectively in faith to God, and all of a sudden we have this angel popping up out of nowhere. This shows us that not only here, but even in the Old Testament and other passages, angels are sometimes the messengers and helpers for the answers to our prayers. And don't think it doesn't happen today. There's a great story. I remember reading this as a kid, just an elementary kid in church. We used to get these missionary stories every week in Sunday school, and this was one of them that came home. This is done, and that's actually found in the book Angels by Billy Graham. I don't know if any of you have heard of it or read of it. It's a pretty good book to read. So he's relating a story told by a Reverend John Patton, a missionary in South Pacific. And the story illustrates how God does provide angels to protect and care for His believers. Now, apparently here's the story. So one night, Patton and his wife found themselves threatened by hostile natives who surrounded their mission headquarters. The Pattons thought for sure that the natives would burn down the headquarters and kill them both. So guess what they did? This is your thing. Thank you. They prayed. They prayed throughout the night for God to protect them. Now the next morning, they were astonished when they realized that the natives were all gone. They had no idea when or where or how, whenever they left. They prayed again and they thanked the Lord for saving them. Now, about a year later, the chief of that particular tribe came to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, the missionaries now said, I want to have a conversation with this guy. You remember last year when you came with all your thugs to wipe us out? And there were a lot of them. He says, yeah. What kept you from just coming in and killing us? It would have been so easy. He said, well, we would have, except for the dozens of huge men that are heavily guarding the place. We decided that we wouldn't win that battle and turn around and left. That makes quite an impression on a 9-year-old. Wow. So God answers prayer. Man, he sure does. Now, angels are just one way God answers prayers. I mean, not every time we pray, you're going to have an angel with the sword drawn next to you. But who knows? Maybe there are many of those situations that we don't even see. I often wondered that. How many times in my day has God protected me from something? And I never see it. So we have this going on in the church. This is kind of interesting. So this first century church in Jerusalem is facing their own giants. They're facing their own fears. It's the Roman, the Romans there, and Herod, of course, as well, and his guards, and they're all after Peter now. You've got to know that you hear that ding, 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 ding. The buzzer's going, the lights are flashing. We've had a jailbreak. Now the guards are motivated to find Peter. You know why, right? Because back then, if the prisoner got out and got away, it was your head, literally, on the block, and you would be executed, which, as you read later, that's exactly what's going to happen. These guards, they're not going to find Peter, and they get his sentence. He gets that, they get executed. So, trust me, they're motivated to find Peter. They're running all around the city. And so that's what's going on here. And so the church is praying. They're running around. And the church goes to prayer. Woo! Hudson Taylor, a great missionary, once said this, when you work, but when you pray, God works. So God's people went to pray and God got to work. And what I love about this angel, if you read it in here, he's all business. He's not playing around, is he? He doesn't have a conversation or try to answer questions. I mean, he gets in there. He's got his job. Hey, Peter, get up. Let's go. Get your clothes on. We're going to go right through here. And he just boom, boom, boom. Nothing stands in his way. He knew exactly what he needed to do. I don't know. I hope I get to meet this angel at one point. But they get all the way through, and he's going to get the job done. You know, for the last 2 years, we've been praying for Ryan Corbett, a Christian man who was held prisoner in Afghanistan. How many have been following that story the last few years have been praying? Well, you know, your prayers have been heard. Ryan is actually a son-in-law, did you know this, of one of our own missionaries that we support. The Barnes is in France. I don't know if you knew that. They're related to him. So I don't know if we communicate. Obviously, we didn't communicate that very well. So he's one of theirs. And they, even in their prayer letters, you can see that going out. And what's so cool is God's people never stopped praying. We didn't have the Peter situation where it was like they prayed and there, boom, they keep, for whatever reason, and this is God. He does what he does for his purposes. It took several years, and it was kind of interesting, when President Trump was sworn into office, it was probably within 24 hours of that, or around that time period, I should say, that he was released. And so he had his own angels, so to speak, come. But here's the thing about that, both situations. The prisons that you and I might be in, for whatever reason, sometimes are because we're walking with the Lord, maybe as Ryan was, or as if Peter was, and we get thrown into different kinds of prisons. It could be persecutions verbally. It could be a persecution of a real prison. It could be other more serious things. Or maybe there's other prisons that we're in today. You might be in a prison today, a prison of our own making, where it would be sin or something, or struggle, or fears, or things that overwhelm us, things that overcome us. And it really is a prison. And the worst kind of prison is the prison right in here, isn't it? Where you place yourself in and you just get controlled. Here's the thing. When God moves, there is no prison that you can't get broken out of. Amen. You might be here today thinking, there's no hope for me. I've tried everything. I've tried praying. I've tried counseling. I've tried medications. I've tried all of it, and it doesn't help, and I just feel like I'm in a prison. And I'm here to tell you today, according to the authority and the Word of God, that there's no prison that God can't get into and bust you out.
Hallelujah.
And He will do that today. Why? Because He wants to have fellowship with you. We go right back to the purpose of it, to the prayer. He really wants to have fellowship with you. Now, I know not everyone can have this, and sometimes I hesitate to tell stories like this because some people have not had this experience, and I don't do this to make you feel bad or get mad at God. I'm just telling you about my own experience. I had a wonderful father. He wasn't a perfect man, but we had great fellowship. And it was through our fellowship that developed our confidence with each other and the care and the sincerity that we had, that if you need me, I'm there. And if I need you, you're here. It was always that way. It was always that way. I think that's exactly what was lost in the garden. It's exactly what the liar, the deceiver, the devil himself wants to tell you, that you don't matter, that nobody cares. That is a lie. God wants to have fellowship with you. He desires that. So we don't know what I've done. I think He does know what you've done, and He knows the prison you're in, and He still says, hey, you want to break out? Call upon my name. God's good at breaking out. You know what? There's no mission impossible with God. It's just possible. So we have this going on. Now, here's some things that I like here. I think it's interesting. This is very interesting. Did you see it in the text? Oh, man, 11, 13. Okay. Peter was led through the guards. Are you following? He was out, led through several layers of this prison. Don't think it was necessarily on the top level. A lot of those prisons were in the ground. And he included an iron gate. But Peter couldn't get into a church prayer meeting. Now, when you read that, did you start laughing? I read that and I said, why did I see that before? That just made me laugh. I thought, there it is. Isn't that the way it is? Oh, God leads us out all kinds of things. You go to the church and you can't get in. Just a thought. Might the church be so busy on the inside that they don't hear the cries on the outside? I don't want to throw water on these guys. I just thought it was an interesting story. Even more interesting, though, is that these faithful followers of Jesus, when they were confronted with the truth that Peter was at the door, they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it at all. Okay, now I'm not throwing stones because I think I'm in that church. I think I'm a member. How many times do I pray? Because I'm told to pray and I believe in prayer and la-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You all know what I'm talking about. And yet for some reason, I don't necessarily believe that anything's going to happen. And I actually walk through my day not expecting it to happen. And when it does happen, I go, wow! This could be a reason sometimes why prayer doesn't always get manifested as fast as the way it should. You know, Hebrew calls us to deeper faith big time. He says this, that He is a rewarder, that God's people must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder. Did you hear the word rewarder? Of those who diligently seek Him. Crying out, God, I'm seeking after You. God rewards that. Our prayers are heard, and He does answer them in His way. You can count on that. Now we get to the real point here, and we're going to start wrapping this up here soon. Verse 16. This is a great, great verse. Just look at the beginning of verse 16. This is after all the Rhoda and everybody's trying to figure this out, and she's saying, hey, he's there, and they're saying, girl, you're crazy. You're nuts. Look at verse 16. Are you there? But Peter continued knocking. Now, I'm very careful, and I don't like the idea of spiritualizing Scripture too much. And maybe that doesn't, what do you mean by that? Sometimes people take phrases and they make things out of them that weren't intended to be. But I think there's something here, and I'm going to walk it through you for the next couple minutes. And to show you that I think this is an important aspect of praying. So Peter wants to go. He's so excited. Once he wakes up, he realizes he really wasn't dreaming. He's like, wow, I really am out. God did answer my prayer. Woo. Where does he go? He goes straight to the fellowship, to the church. Man, he's beating on the door. Why? He wants to reunite and have fellowship with the body of Christ. Tell them what's going on, what God's doing. It's so excited him, and he can't get in. But he doesn't give up. He's beating this door. He's knocking on this door. He wants to get in. I think we can understand a little bit more about prayer because Peter is desiring to fellowship the Lord. Now, you don't have to turn because I'm going to read it for you. But there's a verse in Revelation that I think is apropos to this. It comes from chapter 3 and verse 20. This is often quoted for non-believers, and I hate to just break your heart. This verse is never meant for non-believers. This is for believers, so sorry about that. But in verse Revelation 3:20, it says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus. Okay? He's talking to his church. He's knocking. He's talking to believers, not talking to the lost. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. What's that? That's the best kind of fellowship. Over a meal. Over a hot chili. With a big cup of icy here. Peter's beating on that door. Now, consider the situation. They're looking for him, right? The alarm's going. Woo, woo, woo. I don't know exactly when. I guess maybe I need to step a little bit farther. I don't know the exact timing of it all. But I would imagine when they discover, and it could have been pretty soon, that he was missing, it was an all-points bulletin. We got to find this guy because some of us are in trouble. And there's a bunch of racket. So here's this Peter beating on a door late, early in the morning, making all kinds of noise. It doesn't matter. God's watching out for him. And he keeps on knocking. He's knocking and he's knocking and he's knocking. I think this is a picture of God knocking at the heart, the door of our own hearts. And I think he's doing that to some of you now, or maybe to all of you right now. Because sometimes we get very satisfied with whatever level of spirituality we have, and we're just sitting there in this certain room, and God's going, wait. I want to come to this room. Now, thanks for letting me in the living room area, but there's some doors in your house, of your heart, that you're not, God knows about them, and you already know God knows about them. But for whatever reason, you keep it shut. Isn't that kind of funny? God sees it all anyway, knows it all, and yet for some reason we feel like we could keep it shut and it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. God doesn't stop knocking. He's making a racket right now in your heart. He's making a racket about where you are. And he's beating on that door. He wants to come in. He wants to commune with us. Think of the possibilities if you open the door to Jesus. What might God do in your life? What might God change in your heart and the way you view things and how you even deal with the problems that you have? And this all kinds of possibilities, and it's all about the fellowship that we can share when we say, Lord Jesus, I have too many closed doors. Please come in. I need fellowship with you. I need to get my head straight. I need to get my eyes and my vision straight on what's going on here. And because I'm not getting any farther. I keep struggling with the same sins. I keep struggling with the same issues. I have all these things. And I love you, Lord. You know I love you. But man, I'm not showing full love because I'm holding back. And I'm just going crazy. And God, it's because you're beating at the door. You're saying, I want to come in. I want a fellow. She's making the racket. And we're not listening. And so he says, open the door and I will come in. Think about how that worked out for the Apostle Paul, if I could just digress for a moment, just a moment. How opening the door worked out for him. This is a great passage and I think it really fits right in with this. In this letter to the Philippian church, 119, chapter 1, verse 19, Paul acknowledges that the door of fellowship had been thrown wide open for him. Listen to this. And he's so grateful. He says, oh, church, yes, I will rejoice. Listen, this is going to be important. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this? My imprisonment will turn out for my deliverance. He was expecting an answer to prayer, and God did answer his prayer. He was executed. You weren't expecting that word, were you? Why? Because we got prayer all screwed up. We got all mixed up. We think it's about the words that we're saying and the request. Oh, it's obviously it's part of it. Lord Jesus, can I have this? Lord Jesus, I need this. Oh, Lord God, help me here or help this. It's all about that. But at the basic foundation of prayer is about what's the word? Lost in the garden can be found again through faith in Jesus Christ. You can walk with God. Paul started to walk with God, and what happened? Now his perspective started to change. I bet a few years before that, if he was facing execution, he would have a completely different attitude. Fear, anger, all those things would have flooded him in because he realized, I'm a dead man. Now he says, you know what? It doesn't matter. I don't care. The Lord is my God. He's my Savior. He's my deliverer. He can't do a thing to me unless he gives him permission. I trust and put my faith totally in him. I will not be controlled by fear. I won't be controlled by sin any longer. He says, this is going to turn out for my deliverance, church. Thanks for praying. That can happen to you. That's the power of prayer when you understand it's not about getting all my requests. Those come up in the conversation. It is about walking with Jesus Christ. About loving and growing in faith in Him. Because when you do that, and all the things that you're praying about, you, like Paul, will walk in peace and confidence. For God does all things well. That's very hard when you stand over the casket of a loved one, but God is there. It didn't slip by him. It didn't surprise him like, oops! Oh no. God was there. Well, if you read the story, the girl is pretty persistent. I kind of like Rhoda. I'm looking forward to meeting her. They say, it's just an angel. Just leave us alone. But the racket kept going on. And they come and, they're ready to have a fellowship meeting there. And Peter kind of calms them down and says, hey, I want to tell you about what happened. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Didn't we just sing about that? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what he did. And so he shares this with them, and wow, the church had to have been so influenced by that. It's amazing. And so the things come up here. Before I wrap this up, there's always the question, okay, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to pray to God, and God hears our prayers, and he answers us, and all those things. But what happens when it doesn't seem that God hears or answers prayer. So here's a solution that I think comes from the story. I think. It has to do with the gate. What are you talking about? It's the fellowship. It's closing off and not being able to interact with our Father as we ought. And there's things that can happen that keeps that door closed. One of them is belief. And we see that in the story itself, actually. They didn't believe the girl. They didn't believe. They were actually surprised that God actually did what they prayed for. So there's an element of belief, and sometimes things happen or don't happen because we don't really believe. It's more of a ritual. Oh, God, help me with this. Help so and so and so. Okay, let's get on with our day. They don't really trusting at all. It's just something that they offer up. So it's a lack of belief. Another one is that it has to do with our fellowship. Our prayers are affected when fellowship with God is broken. How do you know that? The Bible tells us so. Let me help you with that. It says here in Psalm 66:18. I'll get my glasses and tell you which verse it is. Psalms. Yeah, it's Psalms. Psalm 66:18. God does not hear us because, why? If I regard iniquity in my heart, are you ready? The Lord will not hear me. What is that about? That means for all the great praying you could do and the impression you could make on others and the crying out and the quoting of the scriptures and all those other things, and man, everybody that's hearing your prayer was going, whoa, that must be the most spiritual man or woman I ever heard in my life. It means nothing to God if you have a gate or a door locked in your heart. Says it right there in Psalms. Might be a great prayer. It's a great prayer. He ain't listening. And it's nothing to do with him, because Revelation tells us that God is beating on that one door he wants inside. Is he the Lord of all?
Yes.
Is he the Lord of all your heart? And so if you and I will gain this whole idea that before we could get into all the, well, did God answer this prayer? Did God answer this request? Did God do this? Maybe God is just saying, let's take first things first. Prayer is about fellowship and commune with me, and it can't happen unless you open up this gate. Open the gate, folks, and do it today. I'm not expecting anyone to run down here and grab a mic and start confessing all kinds of sins out loud publicly to everybody, but my God in heaven, I will say this. If you're struggling with something, you do need to repent and confess it to God. And sometimes that's grabbing that brother, that sister in Christ, and someone that you trust and you know, and you can just pour out your heart, and together you can bust that thing and say, Lord Jesus, come on in. And now he says, okay, now we can do some business. Now we can have some fellowship. Now we're going to have a praise opportunity. Well, this is going to be good. And you're going to grow in your faith. And that very thing that you've been struggling with for years will start losing its power. As through your obedience with him, because you're walking with him, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing. Do you guys know, I know this may sound to you, my dad and I got along, but growing up, do you know, I never really, this might blow your mind, I never really disobeyed right in front of my dad's face. You had a dad like mine? Oh, baby, whatever was nearby, never mind. Duck! But I'm just saying, does that make sense to you guys? I mean, maybe you did when you were three, but as you got a little older, you realized, man, I ain't gonna. So, yeah, we don't want to do that. We like to disobey when he's not around. But here with Peter and with the Lord, he knows. And so there's things that we're keeping and trying and hiding and holding back. And the way to release that is not through magical words that we say to God. It's through confession and getting a relationship with him straightened out. Open the gates of the things that are in your life. That will make the difference in your prayer life. And it will make the difference in your spiritual maturity as you walk with him. So what am I saying? When I'm walking with my Father, in heaven, I'm less apt to walk away from him and walk in sin. And I'm not going to be doing those things. I want to do the things that please my dad. My dad wants to do things. Plus, trust me, my dad could do so much more for me than I could ever do for him. And my dad did on earth as well. And so, whether we sin because of whether we don't have our prayers answered because we sin, or sometimes James says that we pray because and we ask for our prayers with wrong motives, which is sin as well, we need to regain our fellowship with God, and that can happen through confession and repentance. It's not just a bunch of words. You got to open the gate. Are you ready to do that this morning? For the purpose and power of prayer is found in fellowship. It's found in fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And there he is, and right now, wherever you're at, he's knocking on your door somewhere. He's knocking. I don't know what that is. I don't need to know. Unless you want to come and talk with me about it, and God leads you to do that, fine. But God knows, and there it is. He's knocking, and he's saying, open the gate. Father in heaven, the ability and the opportunity for us to grow in faith and have victory over sin and beat down the things in our life that are keeping us from being all that we could be for Jesus Christ, it simply comes down to the locked rooms in our heart. Oh, we'd like you to be involved in certain things, and we actually like having coffee with you in certain areas. But whatever, don't go in that room. Don't go in this room. God, those doors have got to be opened up. And I pray that through faith we will simply come and recognize that it's really not necessarily about getting all that we want, like some big Santa Claus. It's fellowshipping with the one who loves us and gave himself for us. And in that fellowship with you, there are no closed doors. I have my rooms, Lord. I imagine some of my brothers and sisters here do as well. So this morning, we want to break that open. So hear our prayers, Lord. And in the name, and as we call upon the name, the precious name, the powerful name, the name that is above every name, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that name we come and will break down those gates. And the name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Dan.